Hello, welcome to the Little Mental Health Project. And as per, I think we took another long time before, you know, getting back on here to just do what we do. But like, we're here today, so that's all that matters. And as per usual, I am with my co-host, Mai. I'm just going to let her introduce herself.
Hi, Kalina.
Hi.
Yeah, we definitely took a while. in getting back to, you know, the episode, getting back to a new podcast, but it's okay because this is an organic thing. It's live, you know.
Yeah.
Hi everybody, I have missed you so much. And today we have another guest with us, guys. Her name is Nelly Savola, and she is the owner of Lux Rose Interiors in Lilongwe, and I will let her introduce herself.
Hello, mm-hmm. everybody. Mwai, Kolina, thank you so much for having me on here. Hey, everybody. My name is Nelly, as Mwai has introduced me. And I'm 31 years old. I own a business. It's called Lux Rose Bespoke Interior. And I'm based in Lilongwe. So we can start. Over to you, Mwai.
Great. Thank you so much. So, you know, for this conversation, you know, Kolina and I were thinking, and we're like, you know what? We've been talking a lot about self-care and self-love recently, and you know, we thought it only right and proper to invite Nelly to join us for this conversation, because when I think of self-care and self-love, Nelly's it right now. You know what I mean? She is it. She's absolutely it. And I feel like we could all learn something from you. So I wanna just start off by, you know, asking you, what does self-love mean to you? What does self-care mean to you? And how did you, like, start your active self-love and self-care journey? How did you get into that, if you don't mind walking us through that?
All right. I'll first start by saying, to me, self-love, self-care, I think it's just putting yourself first and just making sure that you're showing up for yourself and you're loving yourself. It took a while for me to start loving myself because I'd lost myself. I have a daughter who's 3 years old. Mm-hmm. So I was a first time mom. I'd just given birth. Mm-hmm. And I spent the first 6 months in the house cooped up with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what loving myself was. I gave my whole being to this human being, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then I realized that, you know, I would always cry and all these, you know, signs which led towards depression, mm-hmm. postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I went to go see a counselor who told me that, you know what, Nelly, I think you're going through postpartum depression, and I think we need to take you on this journey just to rediscover mm-hmm. yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. You know,
yeah.
And at this moment, I was like, "What does she mean? I don't need help. You know, I'm doing just fine."
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, yeah. So I went back home, and she told me to write a list of what my life was like before and what it was like now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's when I realized that I was a completely different person.
Mm. Wow.
Wow.
I didn't love myself anymore, and to make it worse, I think I'd gained so much weight because, one, I just had a baby, two, I'd spent too much time obviously indoors and just eating, then COVID came, I lost all my self-confidence, I was just down. So sorry, you were about to say something, Kalina.
No, go on. I'm sorry. I was trying to ask a follow-up question, but go on. I'd like to continue hearing you speak about that experience.
Okay. Then I was just going to say then I continued with the counseling with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just gave me, you know, tips of what to do. Then I started slowly. I started with taking myself out for meals, like lunch. Coffee dates, But I realized that as the journey went on, that self-care is just not about spa dates and taking yourself out for lunch. Mm-hmm. It's actually inner work as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go on, Wai.
No. I was just agreeing with that. And trust me, when you're done, we'll jump in.
All right. So I'd realized that... I think I was at the time I was resenting, for example, my husband, and I think my daughter to a certain extent, but also like other family members, because resentment, bitterness comes in. And I think I had so much going on at the time as well. I couldn't run my business the way I was before. I couldn't travel because I had a toddler, or she was a baby at the time. So I had a lot of unforgiveness, a lot of bitterness, resentment, and I was hurting. So I think self-care and self-love is also just not the spa dates and the traveling, going to the lake, but it's also really searching inside and seeing, am I okay? Really, am I okay?
Yeah.
You know, on a daily basis. Mm. Yeah, I'll leave it there for now.
Oh, wow. Wow. First of all, that sounds really heavy, because I know that there's like a very large number of women that are affected by postpartum depression, and it's something that is hardly spoken about, because you know there's a lot of judgment surrounding, oh, as a mother, why are you not actively trying to take care of your child? As a mother, why are you not? Because I mean, women are expected to like give birth and then, you know, jump up and, you know, run about, like their bodies didn't change, like they didn't just give life to another human being. So
exactly.
Yeah, so I am so sorry about that experience, but at the same time, like, I don't know you very well, but like I'm extremely proud of you for like being able to have asked yourself those questions and like going out there to like look for help. So what I wanted to ask is, outside of yourself, outside of you trying to figure out what that looked like and like trying to find help and then, you know, learning to like love yourself, you know, after struggling with postpartum depression and like just learning to love yourself as a person, what was the support like amongst the people that were, you know, living with you or the people that were close to you? Is it something that they understood or is it something that they took in well?
Okay. That's actually a very interesting question, because people didn't really take it well. We live in a society, culture, which is very judgmental.
Mm.
So for me, I think all my life, I'm a giver, so I like to give. So if there's a bridal shower, I'll make sure I'm there. If there's a funeral, I'll make sure I'm there. If someone has a birthday, I'll be there, whether I'm feeling tired or not.
Mm.
So as I was going through my self-care, self-life, self-love journey,
mm-hmm.
it meant I had to learn to say no.
Yes.
So, for example, if there's a funeral,
mm-hmm.
Then you know how in our culture, our family funerals, we have to go sleep at the marilo,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. I would say, I'm sorry, you know, I'm tired, I can't make it. Or maybe if there's a wedding, I'll attend the morning and I won't attend the afternoon. So obviously mm-hmm. relatives did not understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're looked at as, oh, she's changed, or she's different, or she thinks she's now better than us, and so many other things. But it really helped me, because I just learned to say no, and it's the best thing I've learned.
Yes.
To say no. No, I can't make it.
Yeah. Actually, I'm also learning that no has become my favorite word. And like, people are normally quite shocked when they hear you say no. And they normally follow that up with why. Like, no is enough of an answer. That's a response. I don't need to tell you why I'm saying no.
Exactly. Just no.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you've said that, Colina. You said that some people may tend to get shocked when you say no now. And even though I haven't known you, Colina, for the longest time as well, I know that saying no is an actual growth thing. That is you actually developing as a person. So I just want to say I'm really proud of you with that.
Oh.
And then I also want to add the fact that as I've been watching you grow, and you know, privileged to have a seat in the front row,
I like the way that you actually communicate that no, because to be honest, even though you're saying, yeah, I just say no, you actually don't. You never say no just, you know, like that. You actually say, listen, this is what is happening and the reason why is this. So you give an explanation. And I think that's extremely important when we're talking about self-love and self-care and actually communicating to others that this is not a selfish thing, you know.
Yeah.
Communicating that to others is important. Mm-hmm. And learning how to do that, you know, effectively, and learning how to do that compassionately for yourself, yeah, and then for those that are on the receiving end of it is extremely important. So I just want to say that bit. And then also just another thing, Nelly, that you mentioned, like society, especially yes, here in our culture, I can literally, you know, empathize with you because, I mean, I kind of went through it a little bit, but maybe not so much because, you know, when my child was born, it was kind of COVID anyway, you know, so,
okay,
you know, I was okay being indoors for the longest time, but generally anyway, you know, just having to communicate and having to stand up for yourself, I know can be quite a problem.
Yes.
So on to my question of just as a generation, you know, kind of like our age, we're okay with like saying, okay, I'm going to learn how to stand up for myself, etc. But how do you guys feel like, let's say maybe when you see your mother, for example, maybe aunties or whatever, overextending themselves, you know, in the name of self-care, self-love? I don't know if you've seen that. Like they'll go so much out of their way for extended family, for other people at the expense of their own health. So how can we as people that are in the self-love generation share that with the older generation as well? Is this something that they can change? What do you think?
Okay, so I have a perfect example. It's funny you actually bring this up because I'm currently living with my mom, and as you're saying, she always overextends herself. You know, she's you know, she'll receive guests at maybe 7 p.m. They'll stay till like 11, and at 11 p.m. I can tell she's tired, but she'll still make them dinner and so many other things. And what I've done is I think she's been observing how I live my life and how I've learned to say no. And when I see her overextending herself, I always remind her that, Mom, it's okay to say no. You know, I know that this is important for you, but if you can't make it, let's say to an important event, you know, you could always do other things to show that you care for the person. You could always visit them after. And I think slowly, if you just spend time with them and just talk to them about it, I honestly believe they can change because I can see some changes in my mom. Yeah, Colina, over to you.
Oh, so that's you leading by example. Look at you. So my question is more of on the opposite of what Mai asked regarding like people overextending themselves and like neglecting what self-love or like looking out for themselves looks like. I also know that in this generation, in this generation where we're like so hell-bent on like, oh, self-care, self-love, there's also other people that, you know, turn that into more of a thing that makes them to be self-absorbed and like just to be like extremely self-centered in the name of like, oh, self-love, I'm loving myself, I'm like looking out for myself, which in turn makes them to be like horrible to other people, you know, while open air quotes, self-love, closed air quotes. I don't know why I closed the air quotes, calling it self-love. How do you differentiate? How do you tell the difference between, for you as a person, how do you strike that balance to like recognize to say, okay, this is me loving myself and this is me just being a really selfish person in the name of self-love?
Ooh, Kalina, that's a hard one. I feel like you just put me in an exam room and I'm like, okay, I'll go to question C.
Or you just start with question B and then move on to A.
Kalina, sorry, can you just ask the question again?
Okay, I okay, so I don't have to give you the background. I just have to like shoot.
No worries.
again, right?
Yes, please.
So, like, how do you strike that balance? Because I know in, like, because I'm also just learning to, like, practice self-love. And, like, I think I say to my often, like, one has to learn to, like, step outside of themselves, you know? Like, because sometimes you just, you know, want to, like, okay, no, this is about me. I have to make this about me. I have to love myself enough to, like, you know, not put myself in this situation, or I can't be there for this person at this moment, you know? But there are times when you have to, like, learn to, like, step outside of yourself, you know, within the self-love. So my question is, like, how do you strike that balance to, like, not be one of those people that's practicing self-love, but in a way that is not loving towards people around you? Like, how do you strike that balance, you know? How do you strike that healthy balance from self-love to not being a complete selfish person, or, for lack of better words, not being an a-hole in the name of self-love?
Yeah. Oh, I love the way you put that. Okay. So, Kalina, funny enough, that's something I'm struggling with.
Yeah.
So, in the name of self-love, what I'm struggling with now is being a people person, mm-hmm. in a sense that I'm very good to communicate with people over the phone and encourage people via messages and voice notes and calling them. Mm-hmm. But when it actually comes to meeting people, I'm really terrible at it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's something on this self-love journey of mine. Now I need to learn as well, because I used to be such an extrovert, mm-hmm. to the point that it used to drain me. Mm-hmm. Then now I've become an introvert, where I love doing things on my own. Like, I love taking myself out to lunch, and I prefer going out with myself, as opposed to, you know, a friend, you know. So that's something I actually have to work on myself. So I would answer honestly that I think with that one, I don't have a balance yet. Yes.
Okay, I hear that.
Yeah.
I want to try to answer that as well, as best I can, if you don't mind, Kalina.
Yes.
Of course.
I feel like, you know, with when we're talking about self-love and self-care, right? I think the main thing to keep in mind is to actually define it in the sense that, okay, what is the underlying principle of it? And I think what we do for self-love and self-care should enable us basically to be able to eventually pour out into others from our overflow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
And that should be because... Yeah, that should be because we see self-love as not a form of escapism, for example, but something like an activity or a practice. Yeah, an activity or a practice that actually rejuvenates us and refreshes us, you know. Back in the day, I would go, you know, in my drinking days, I would go and have drinks and, you know, go out, chill with friends. And for me, I called that self-care because I was socializing and all of that. But then I would come back and then it would be like, I'm so embarrassed. Maybe I got too drunk and I'm so whatever. Then I end up withdrawing. And it wasn't serving anybody. It wasn't serving me. It wasn't serving anybody around me. And just in my own... Yeah, in my growth, just through, you know, personal introspection as well as through therapy, I've had to actually learn that, okay, self-love and self-care is not bad. Self-love and self-care is, you know, obviously the nice things, you know, the spa days, the bubble baths, you know, pedicures, whatever, but it's also the hard things. Now, in order for you to actually do those hard things, you really have to get to know yourself as well. But then let me not just finish with the first part that I was saying, that with self-love and self-care, right? Yes, it can become a thing where it may be viewed as selfish, right? And I think there are two sides to it, because it becomes self-centered and negative and not serving others if it becomes something that is about self-indulgence and, you know, just self-gratification at the expense of, you know, at the expense of other things. And there was something I posted just the other day on Instagram. It was yesterday.
Actually. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. With self-love, that, you know, we are so quick to dismiss people and say, oh no, you know, that person's toxic because they've disappointed me or whatever. Well, yeah, that person's toxic and you say that because they've disappointed you, or maybe because they've maybe not agreed with you, or because the relationship is maybe challenging, you know. And the thing is, relationships are challenges, are challenging, you know what I mean? It's just how it is. It's just how we are as human beings. So we're so quick, those of us in this self-love generation, self-love movement, to dismiss people like that because maybe we feel as if they don't serve us. When in actual fact, like, wait a minute, why are you not actually, you know, allowing for yourself to practice to learn healthy communication and interpersonal skills as well? Why are you so quick to do that? So it's also like about having that sort of mindset with regards to self-love, that, you know, self-love is not just about me, but it should allow me to get to a stage where I can actually be a better person within communities, within relationship with others, because we're not here to just be by ourselves. We can't do that.
True.
You know, through those challenges, because challenges are there to facilitate our growth. So we can't do that if we are so consumed with this self-love and all of that. So when it becomes that sort of self-indulgence and all of that, then it becomes a problem, as if maybe we're the only people that matter, you know.
True.
As if, you know, you don't need anybody, like everybody's literally just like an accessory, you know, to you, you know. It's not, it's not that. And when you can actively, you know, show that, okay, these actions that are my self-care practices or whatever, when they result in you being able to pour into others, that's when you really, really reap the benefits of self-care and self-love, I think.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
And when you were talking just now, I was just thinking about how, I think also when we go through trauma, like different types of trauma, I think, I think people as well, like as you said, we need to learn how to, you know, keep relationships and communicate. I'll give a personal example. I just recently went through a divorce. So I think that's when I also, my self-care also, I started when I just had the baby, but then now it's become more. However, I think the reason I prefer not to meet people, I think, is more to do with avoidance. Which is not good, because I think, as you said, Mwai, I need to learn also how to, you know, how to communicate. I mean, if I meet you, I should be able to just, you know, I don't have to go into the details, and I should just be able to be free to meet you and not be scared to meet you, that you'll ask me about my personal life. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the points you brought up.
Yeah. I was like, this is preaching.
I know. Like, I got so much from there. I was like, wow.
I thought, like, I was rambling.
No, girl.
No, you weren't.
And like, you know, for the most part, why every time you start talking and what, like, you're making a lot of sense, you normally say, oh my goodness, I'm rambling. Like, no, girl, you are making a lot of sense. And like, I just wanted to like quickly, like, point out to you that I think you do this thing where you're like second guessing yourself, especially when you're speaking the wisest of wisdom. So to, like, you know, to just keep going, like, if you're rambling, that's okay. Like, at least we, like, you know, take out some faucets of, like, the important information that you have to share. Neri, first of all, I just wanted to say sorry about, like, the experience of, like, having gone through a divorce. I understand. I can imagine that must have been, like, a very difficult time for you, and for you to, like, you know, come to a place where you, like, also are learning self-love in that process, just, you know, goes to show how much growth, you know, how much growth you, like, foster as a person, and how much work you do, like, as a person to, like, just, you know, live the healthiest the healthiest sound life for yourself and for your child. Mm-hmm. So my follow-up question, because I think we're running out of time, I think we have like 8 minutes to go. my follow-up question is just going to, I think we have to do like a follow-up of this podcast, because I feel like the time has just like flown by very, very quickly. I don't understand how we've been talking for that long. So I'm just going to quickly ask the question, because I feel like I'm still wasting time talking.
No worries.
my question for you was, you spoke about like how you like sometimes avoid people and stuff like that. How are you actively working to also, like, I think for me, in this podcast, you've learned that balance is a very important thing to for me. So, like, how are you learning to, like, strike a balance in, like, because, you know, sometimes we, like, bent on, oh, man, maybe I just like to avoid people. Maybe I just need to go out there. And then you end up overextending yourself by overgoing there, because you think, oh, I'm an avoider. Like, I've become introverted. I should learn to go out there and become, you know, extroverted a little bit more. How do you strike that balance between, like, establishing what is healthy and what is not healthy with regards to interaction?
Okay. Yeah. I think I just, right now, I just choose where I should go and where I shouldn't go. So, for example, as Moi said earlier on, you know, would go partying and drinks and out. Obviously, that's not a healthy place for me to go in my current state. So now it's more meaningful conversations with people, our intimate lunches with a few friends, or I'll meet up with a friend, either we'll pray together or we'll eat together. And I think it's just really meaningful. I choose who I meet, but not choose like being picky like that, but choosing people who will not make my mental health worse by, I don't want to sit with someone and we gossip the whole afternoon. I want to sit with someone and we encourage each other. And by the end of the conversation, we both feel better, lighter, brighter, and we're smiling.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. I just want to say real quick, I know we're running out of time. I promise it'll be like 30 seconds. But Nelly, I really like the balance that you actually strike, let's say like with your social media, because you share the things that you do in terms of self-care, in terms of the spa days and bubble baths and all of that. But then you also share really, really important messages about your growth and things that are empowering and all of that. And it's not easy to strike that balance, you know what I mean? Because it just generally, there's this obsession with what self-care looks like, you know, the aesthetics of it all. But I like the fact that you really, really bring it together. So I'm really proud of you with that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Moi. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I think I'll just add on to what Moi said. I think with our generation as well, I think we need to do something different compared to what our parents did, which is, I think we need to be real. I think we live in a fake world where we all try to show the beautiful reels, you know, and that's what people like to see. But the moment you post, either you've had a miscarriage or you're going through a divorce, that's the time people take screenshots and gossip about it. But I think as a generation, we need to encourage and strike the balance where we share a good life, but we also share of our struggles so other people can learn from that.
I hear that. My pastor used to like saying, likes to say rather, because I think I'm pretty sure he's still saying it, that what we don't understand about social media, or just basically people, is they're only going to share their highlights reels. They're not going to share, you know, when life is not working out for them. So to also not get sucked into that, and, you know, like forget yourself, or try to like pressure yourself into doing things that you potentially wouldn't be doing because you're trying to catch up or keep up with the Joneses, as they say.
Exactly.
Nelly, it's absolute pleasure. I am hoping that we can do this again, because this conversation has just flown by quickly.
Me too. I feel like I'm literally scratching the surface. I'm such a lovely guest.
Yeah.
It's been amazing, guys. And Mwai, thank you so much. You've given me things to think about, and I'll definitely be contacting you for more tips and help.
Yeah, please do. But do you want to say anything before we jump off? Would you like to say anything?
I'll just say, I think as women, let's just continue to be ourselves, you know? Like as Mwai, be Mwai. As Nelly, let me be Nelly. As Colina, be Colina. Nelly shouldn't try to be Mwai. Mwai shouldn't try to be Nelly. Let's just all be authentic, love each other, and just empower each other.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I really love that. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, ladies. You're so amazing.
Thank you.
And I'll just a disclaimer quickly for everybody that's listening. Thank you for joining. We just want to say that we are not professionals in the sense of mental health professionals. I mean, to a large extent, but we are basically doing this to meet people in companionship. That's why we do this. That's why we're so committed to normalizing these conversations, to meet everybody in companionship.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks so much.
Thanks for that, Mwai.
Thank you so much, Nelly. From the Little Mental Health Project, we're hoping that we can do a part two of this because we literally just scratched the surface.
So true.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Yeah. bye, guys.
Bye, Green. Bye.
All right. Enjoy your evening, ladies. Bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye.